Good morning. This week's parsha is Parashat Va'eda, but the shir is going to be one that will really deal with Shmot, Va'eda, Bo, Mishalach, the whole process of redemption. But even more than that, it's, I believe, going to deal with a very significant, important, and painful contemporary issue. About 2 or 2.5 years ago, I had learned one paragraph of what we're going to learn today, but I never ever gave you the entire build-up until we reached the point of that one paragraph. I gave you the conclusion, the epilogue to the whole story, but I didn't give you the whole story. And I'm going to try my very best to do the whole thing today. I consider this, which is an essay written by the Shem Yishmuel, I consider it to be extremely, extremely significant and important. The Shem Yishmuel was the son of the Egle Tal. The Egle Tal was the Sochachava dynasty. The Shem Yishmuel was most probably the late 19th and beginning of the 20th century. All of them were great, great Talmidei Chachamim. So we're going to get a build up. We're going to go step by step. And as I usually tell you, don't at all be intimidated by all that printed stuff on the page. We're going to make our way through it. Vayomer Moshe. This is at the beginning of next week's Sedra. Paro at the beginning of next week's Sedra, Parshat Bo is beginning to weaken. He begins to consider the possibility of negotiating with the Jewish people. He doesn't yet see it as an exodus from Egypt, but they're going off into the desert for 3 days. In order to serve God. So, Moshe said, "Gam ata titein b'yodeinu zvachim va'olot va'asinu la'Hashem Elokeinu." Pharaoh, you're also going to give us animals with which we're going to bring sacrifices to our God. Because Moshe Rabbeinu says we're going to go with our old, with our young, we're going to take our sheep and our cattle. Everybody's going. Everybody's going. Pharaoh is not yet ready. Let the elders go, but let the children remain behind. Instead, the Middle Eastern kind of negotiation. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, it's all or nothing. Benodenu is the Kainenu, our old, our young, our sheep, our cattle, everybody. And you're also going to give us sacrifices. Ube Medrash, the Medrash, and I give you the Medrash on the side. Let's take a quick look at number 2. The Medrash says, Vayikra Paro el Moshe, Vayomer, Lechu Ivdu. Paro called to Moshe and he said, go serve your God. Vayomer Moshe, and then comes the conversation between the two of them. Vayomer Moshe, Kamaako Titeb Yodain, Zvachim Valoj, you're also going to give up sacrifices. Amalei Moshe. Moshe said to Paro, Lotei Sovur, don't think that we're going to sacrifice any of our own animals. Just listen to the way it sounds. It's a very strange medrash. Don't think we're going to sacrifice any of our own. You're also going to give into our hands the sacrifices. Shenakdiv l'hakadosh baruch hu al shimcha, that we're going to sacrifice before the Holy One, blessed is he, on your name. And that's why he told him, our cattle is going to go with us. Now back into the Shem Yishmuel. The Shem Yishmuel is going to ask a number of questions on this medrash. The medrash is difficult to understand. To me, Hatsuma, great question. Is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu said that Jews are not going to bring any of their own sacrifices? Hello, call our Vegas and Corbonus. He's that Machmas Chisra Mimono, shall I make the whole purpose? The whole purpose of bringing sacrifices is that I give something of my own to God. What do you mean we're not going to give? And the whole shot is going to be paid for by Paro. The Gemara even asks, in Odom Miskape, if somebody is going to bring something that's not his own, there may not even be forgiveness as a result of such a sacrifice. If they're going to bring Paro's animals, they certainly have not fulfilled their obligation. Furthermore, the pasuk that the Medrash brings says, Gam atoti ten, you also are going to give, which of course means quite clearly we're going to bring, and you too. And the Medrash, quoting that pasuk, says, you think we're going to sacrifice any of our own? So the second question the Shem Yishmuel asks is therefore va'od shemi mekoma who will come from the place, the pasuk that they bring. We already see din kain shuv tanas paro b'mekoma umedet dak tzonchem u'bekachem yitzak. So yes, here's another fascinating question. If we're going to bring only yours, then ours we can leave here, because Paro said, let the men go, but your sheep and your cattle will remain here. Now, if they turn around to tell him, as the Medrash seems to be interpreting the prophet, strangely enough, that we're not going to bring any of our own, we're going to sacrifice, all our sacrifices are going to be yours. If all the sacrifices are going to be yours, so what do we need to take our own, leave our own behind? What Paro claims remains in place. Your sheep and your cattle should remain here. You're not going to bring any of your own, so leave yours here. The words of the pasuk cannot carry that kind of a meaning. He said, you too are going to give in our hands zvachim v'olot. The word gam means, in addition to the animals that we're going to sacrifice, you too are going to bring sacrifice. So the Medrash is difficult. The answer and the explanation to the Medrash will have to wait till the end. The Nidah Lefarish now takes us to step two. Step two is yesh lehidvonim, we have to give thought. Bamesh haitam nidbakeshet Hachna'at Paro u'Mitzrayim. It seems that in this whole process, what happens to be a necessity is that Paro and all of Egypt will be subdued before God. They are going to surrender before the Almighty. It seems that the process calls for Paro and Mitzrayim to be humbled. And watch, I wrote on the side, I wrote the psukim as they begin in Parshat Shemot, and in this Sedrik, you'll hear the Kriyas HaTorah and Shabbos, you're going to see what's happening. It seems that this whole process is an educational process for Paro and Mitzrayim. Shmos, number four, Vayom Paro. Paro's first response to Moshe is, Mi Hashem, who is God Asher Ashmah B'Kolo? Who's this God? Why should I listen to him? To send the children of Israel out. Lo yadati am Hashem. I don't know who he is. The Gam Yisrael, lo ashaleh. And I'm not going to send Israel out. There's the challenge. You don't know who he is? You're going to find out who he is. The Shem Yishmul's question is going to be, why is it so necessary for God that Paro should say, yes, God is the creator of the world. God, and he cares. Does he think makes a difference? You think God takes this personally? He's all upset that Paro doesn't recognize him. So what? So what? And then in Parshat Vayeder, take a look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 psukim. Kamar Hashem. Seven. The other Mitzrayim shall know that I am God when I stretch out my hand on Egypt. And I will take out the children of Israel. Ko amar Hashem, so says God, bezot, through this teda, you will know, ki ani Hashem. This is all the Paro. Leman teda, you should know, ki ein kashem ulkenu, there is no God like our God. If you watch, there's a fascinating progression. First of all, you have to know that there's a God, the God of Israel. Second, you have to know that there is no other God like him. Three, Lemam teida ki ani Hashem b'kedav oretz. The next thing you have to know is, I did not simply create the world and remove myself to the very heavens. I'm right here. You have to know that I am God b'kedav oretz. Bavur teida, you should know ki ein kamoni b'chol oretz. There's none other like me on the face of this earth. Vela bavur zot. God says to Pharaoh, you should know why I left you alive. To show you my strength, so that you should be able to relate my great name throughout the earth. This is another step. Now, not only are you going to tell the world about the God of Israel, you also have to know the earth belongs to God. In Parshat Bo, V'yidatem, Ki Ene Hashem, you know who else is going to learn that God is God? The children of Israel. Paro says, then in Parshat Bo, what's going to begin in Parshat Bo, next week, Sedra, is a beginning of an upswing. Little by little, Paro is ready to negotiate. He sees the finger of God. He recognizes that there's some kind of a God. He's ready to let the old go. Then he's ready to let the children. Ultimately, he's going to be ready to let the cattle go. And in the final instance, it's not going to be his choice anyway. They're going to go out despite him. The Shemish will wants to know, why is it so significant? So many psukim so that old Pharaoh should know that there is a God. What is this? What kind of trip is God on? Is it really so significant and so important to him that this tyrannical, wicked idolater, I know God. You know, it said, it's in the Bible that seek him and a stick is in. You know, he'll feel better. Oh, you see everybody? Paro! He agrees that I exist. I mean, what's going on over here? It's really a continuation of the question before. God needs Paro's sacrifices. Give me a break. What's it all about? V'nidol Farish. Let's go. 3. V'hine yesh li d'bonim. We have to consider why was it necessary that Paro in Egypt should be subdued before God? As it says, and he brings a number of the psukim, the other Mitzrayim, Kini Hashem, the Chayim come upon him, the Zos, Tedak, Kini Hashem, Laman, Tedak, Kien, Kini Hashem, Lakenu, Laman, Tedak, Kini Ani Hashem, the Kedavarot, Barbur, Tedak, Kien, Kamoni, the Chayim alayam, even in Pasach, Bishach, when they get to the sea, the Yedu Mitzrayim, Kini Hashem, who Bezor HaKadosh. The Zohar says the following, the Lomitna Torah are the also Paru Vodi, Yitro Vodi. Torah could not be given until Paro was going to admit that the God of Israel is God, and until Yitro came and said, Baruch Hashem, blessed is God. What's the Zohar talking about? Why is this so important? God needs approbations from Paro and from Yitro. I mean, this is what he's in need of. What does he have to do with them? It says in Shir HaShirim that there's a unique relationship between God and Jewish people. Dodi li v'ani lo. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is unto me. And Rashi says, "Who called Tzarach of Tavar Mimeni? God has asked all that he wants, he asks of me. V'lo tziva eloli. He commanded only me. Asu Pesach, make a carbon Pesach, kachu b'chorod. Sanctify the firstborn. Make a mishkan. Bring sacrifices. V'lo tavami umar acheret. He didn't ask any other nation. V'kam, and here, what a strange thing. Paro has to know that he's God. Paro has to bring sacrifices. Etmar, I wonder. Hello, Kolagrin Kayan Egdo. All of the nations are like nothing before him. May Efes Vatohu Neshulo. They are absolutely nothing and zero. Umalo lahachmana paro umitzkayan klau. Why does he need the subordination of Paro and Mitzkayan? You want to take the Jewish people out?
One blow, you take them out and finish.
It's a good question. Malo lachnas paru mitzrayim klalu lahotziyat Yisrael hayayochal al korchom shelo b'tovatam. He could have taken the Jewish people out against their will, which he ultimately does in the end anyway. That's the second question. The third question is, v'nida v'nei yesh lihitpalei, and you'll see that in a sense this is a continuation of last week's year, but it's a unit all of its own. Says there's something you have to wonder about. Al datan v'avidam sheha'izu pineihem neged Moshe v'Aaron. Datan and Avidam acted with terrible chutzpah toward Moshe and Aaron. As Moshe and Aaron are coming to Paro, Datan v'Avidam say, let God see and judge you for what you have done to this people. Everything was good until you came. Yed Hashem Aleichem Yishpod Harol Kobonim, that they should have realized that Moshe and Aaron are very, very unique individuals. In Mitzrayim, people tremble before them. He makes reference to a medrash. I'm not going to learn the whole medrash. It's on the number 6. The medrash says that there were two mighty lions at the entrance to Paro's palace, and when Moshe and Aaron came, the two lions became like pussy cats, and with joy they came along like little ketalach with Moshe and Aaron before Paro. They come into the into Paro, and Paro is everybody's standing there in awe, amazement, fear, trepidation, trembling. These lions that have kept people out of the palace are now, you know, ketalach with Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron were unique, I can't think of a better word right now, exceptional individuals, outstanding. How is it that no one has the chutzpah that Datan v'Avidam had for them? The shiur that we gave about 2.5 years ago, I documented all of the places in Chumash where Datan and Aviram act with absolute ugliness toward Moshe and Aaron. And remember, Datan v'Avidam were the two fellows who were fighting that day, the second day that Moshe Rabbeinu went out. They're the ones who betrayed Moshe to Paro. Moshe, the first one in history to stand up in Mitzrayim for a fellow Jew, risks his life. He's betrayed by none other than Datan and Aviram. Unbelievable. So the Shem Shmuel is asking, where did they get the chutzpah? Hello, Al Koponim, where you wrote that Moshe and Aaron, Shainam, Anoshim, Pshutim, they were able to see that Moshe and Aaron weren't simple people. Shabon, if they paro, believed it, Tilat Roshut, they came to Paro without asking for an appointment. They didn't ask for permission to come. Vain, Vishomle, Apalton, Yecholit, Lakoba, Yadam. All the officers of the palace guard, the Shabak, the FBI, everybody, the Secret Service, nobody can stop them. They go walking in. These are exceptionally the divine people. Why is it that Datan v'Avidam aren't frightened? Ubi Yalkut, the Yalkut, that's the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni that I give the text on the side. Sham Petach Parohoyu Snake Fili Avery, there were two strong lions, Asun, that were tied there, Vainish Yotze Ubomit name, because of them nobody comes in or goes out. Vainish Moshe Tamatha Lakfirin Moshe stretched out his staff over the lions. And they became untied, and they go, they go dancing before Moshe and Aaron. I don't know. We're talking about Moreni and Rabbeinu. Here, the lions are terrified before Moshe and Aaron. And they came with him to Simcha Gedolah with great joy. Just as a dog is so happy to be with his master. Paro saw, wondered, was terrified. You see there at length, and this is not only Moshe. Aaron was revered in Egypt. How is it that these two people have absolutely no respect for Aaron? Aaron was the one who kept hope beating in the hearts of Klal Yisrael, and these two chevra simply act with such ugliness toward Moshe and Aaron. Next paragraph. Now that we have the questions, what's going to begin now is the process of the answers. It's going to take a little way until we get there, but we're going to get there in this session. Chazal say it. He does not quote it from any specific place because it's the metaphor is used in a number of places in Medrash. Jews in Egypt were like a fetus in a mother. What do our rabbis mean when they use that kind of a metaphor to describe Jews in Egypt? What they mean is, spiritually, maybe emotionally, and in a lot of other ways, Jews were nursing from Egypt. Here they were, surrounded by a foreign culture, and there was just no way that they were able to maintain their absolute emotional and spiritual identity in the face of this overwhelming and overpowering system that was called Mitzrayim. So Chazal described the Jewish people as a uvar, a fetus, b'nei imo, in the womb of a mother. Shebar sher Yisrael b'Mitzrayim hoyu k'uvar b'nei imo v'uvar yerech imo. The Gemara says, halacha is that an uvar, a fetus, is like one of the organs of a mother because it receives all its sustenance from the mother. V'ochel paro u'Mitzrayim. Top of the next column, what they ate was paro and Mitzrayim, po'alot v'hem l'ra'ah. The nourishment that they were getting was acting in a very, very negative way on them. Just like the blood of a mother affects the fetus. V'zeu shema she'isa b'medrashei Haggadah, in the Haggadah of Pesach it says, Vayoreu otanu hamitzrim. We usually think that it means that the Egyptians were bad to us, but it doesn't mean that. If it would have meant that the Egyptians were bad to us, it would have said Vayoreu lanu hamitzrim. The Egyptians were bad to us. It says in the Haggadah Vayoreu otanu hamitzrim means the Egyptians made us bad. Their influence, the whole society, impacted on us in an extremely negative way. That's why it says in the Haggadah Vayorei Otanu Mitzrim Shehu Poel Yotzei, it's a transitive verb. It's acting upon somebody, acting upon us. Hainu Shehu Otanu Roim, they made us bad. Mehai Taimahu, the reason they made us bad is because we were like an ubar, we were like the fetus in the mother. The very first pasuk that we learned, the very first response of Paro to Moshe and Aaron was, who is God? Who is God? And right, you think I'm going to send the Jewish people out? That was an absolute act of chutzpah, lo yodati at Hashem. I don't know who God is. I'm not going to send the Jewish people out. And the Sephorno on that pasuk says the following. This is awesome chutzpah. He says two things. I don't know who God is. And also, I'm not going to send the Jewish people out. So the Sephorno says, even if you'll prove to me, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that there is a God, the God of Israel, I'm still not going to send them out. You'll send me off to a discovery program, and I'm going to see the light, I'm still not going to send them out. That's great chutzpah. The Sforno said, "V'gam sheyit ameit mitzvuta ze hanimtza." Even if it will become true the existence of this God, lo b'shvil zar shalachet Yisrael, I'm not going to send the Jewish people out. In Cain, siduvo shel paro, ein lachshov ki shogeg u'bilti yeda. Paro, therefore, is not just an innocent person who says, I don't know who God is. No. If he says, I don't know who God is, prove it to me, that's one thing. But he says, even if you do prove it to me, I'm not going to send the Jewish people out. So he says, Elo kemoreid, he was rebellious, shechetzif v'heyeiz panam b'fnei amelach. He acts with great chutzpah toward God the King. V'azutzu the chutzpah yitayrazu parlo al Yisrael, the chutzpah of Paro impacted on the Jewish people. The takfum b'koach u'mashchu al tamli midat ha'azot, this drew Jewish people to the midah of being mechut, satan, and rebellious. I think that what the Shem Yishmuel is really going to be describing to us is something that we now call the Stockholm Syndrome. The Stockholm Syndrome is that a hostage at some point, a relationship develops between the hostage and the one who is keeping him hostage, and the hostage begins to relate in a certain positive way to the one who's holding the hostage. We assume that they should despise and hate them. No. The psychology works in such a way that, you know, and maybe it is because they feel if we begin to identify them, we'll understand them, they'll be nice to us, they'll let us live. I mean, there are a lot of things that one can imagine over here. It means what he's really going to say in a word is that whatever Paro and Mitzrayim were, that was having awesome and frightening impact on the Jewish people. The Jewish people were caught in a great inner struggle. The struggle was between the fact that they are the children of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and therefore by nature they are modest, humble, and merciful people. And here they find themselves enslaved and surrounded by people who are absolutely cruel and evil. And that struggle is taking place. So he says, despite the fact that they were under such terrible pressure, Klal Yisrael, Sheyesh Bam Klal Yisrael, the people Sheyesh Bam Beteva, in their nature they have Midos Tovos, good character traits, Shehibiu Behem Abuseinu HaKadoshim, that our holy fathers made part of our nature, Baishonim, people who understand what it means, shame. Shame is an extremely powerful, positive force in a human being. We don't have to go into that, but you think there certainly are a lot of things that we don't do or that we do because of shame. Therefore, we live within a society that works on us in this way, and it's a very positive force. We're Baishonim, we're Rachmanim, we're merciful, we're Gomli Chassadim. That nature that they had received from their avos gave them the strength to withstand the onslaught of Egyptian culture. That gave them the power and the strength to stand against the forces of evil of Egypt. The only ones who really suffered from the Stockholm Syndrome, the only ones who followed, were drawn magnetically to Egyptian culture and Egyptian rejection of God, were Dathan and Abiram. Shehayu apsolas shel Yisrael. They were the refuse of Israel. Ukamo shekosav Maharal. The Maharal says, just as on the one hand there are Moshe and Aaron, on the other end of the spectrum, you have Dathan v'Aviram. The point that he's ultimately going to make is that there are Dathan and Avirams in every generation. The more frightening point that he's going to make is the closer we come to ultimate redemption, there will be a proliferation of Dathan v'Avirams, Jews who will be ready and with joy to betray their fellow Jews. Both the Maharal and the Shem Yishmuel say that this unique form of betrayal exists more by the Jewish people than any other people on the face of this earth. Frightening, terrifying. You now begin to understand why I'm learning this Shem Yishmuel. We are faced with it, unfortunately, day in and day out, but we're going to see the only silver lining to the cloud is, because he's going to say that the closer we get to redemption, the greater is going to be the outbreak of people who will simply go to all ends, irrationally even, to betray their own people. Every day, every day, we are suffering from this in a way that no other people suffer. It's bothered me for years it made me crazy. And here we'll get a little bit of what's going on over there. On a very simple level, one can say, not only Stockholm Syndrome, but there are those who want to curry favor with the nations of the world. They enjoy it. They can move easily and freely through the capitals of Europe and the palaces and be seen as great statesmen. They can also be on the receiving end of all sorts of funds that come flowing in from all sorts of groups that want to undermine the very existence of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. This is the Dasam Vaviram phenomenon. A frightening, frightening and disturbing phenomenon. Now watch.
Yes, the Moshe, Moshe of Aaron, Hayu Hadeshit Shel Yisrael. Moshe and Aaron were the first, the greatest of Israel. Lo Matan, on the other hand, Hayu Datan Vaviram HaPsolet Shel Yisrael. Al Kein Nidbat Behem Korach HaAzut VaChutz Bishel Paro. The Azut and the Chutz of Paro,
and they will continue to maintain their position regardless of what's going on in the world. Dasam Vaviram, one of the things that really describes them is, don't confuse me with the facts. The facts make absolutely no difference to me. Jewish children are being thrown into the Nile. Well, you know, if there wouldn't be settlements, they just wouldn't be throwing Jewish children into the Nile. But what I'm saying is, there's something unique about the Dasam Vavirams of this world that will place blame for anything that happens on us, not on the enemy. We're guilty. Unbelievable thing. Yeda Hashem v'yishmo, that they can even invoke the name of God. Let God see and let Him judge you. Let Him judge you. And he says, Ukamoha azut v'achutz, to listen to that sentence at the end there. And just like the azut and the chutzpah of Paro, hayu yotzot migeder v'nimusehu anoshi. It was not human. It was simply not human. So was the chutzpah of Dasam Vaviram. Made no sense. Denial and betrayal of their very, very, very own. You read yesterday's the editorial in yesterday's Jerusalem Post? It was based on an article that appeared in Haaretz about a year and a half ago. I remember the morning I read that article. I thought that my blood pressure went. That Geuser Professor Zev Sternhill, who told the rights in the Haaretz that, listen, Arafat, you should know your argument is with the settlers and the settlements. That's where you should send your people. That's where you should have suicide bombers. He was giving them advice to go after the settlers. And the settlement that was used yesterday, I think it was yesterday that they quoted it, and finally, a year and a half later, they quoted an editorial. Don't confuse me with the facts. We now know beyond any shadow of a doubt. In other words, those who didn't know it yet clearly know it now. Settlements are not the issue at all. They have never recognized the existence of the Jewish people or the State of Israel. We're nothing to them. It has nothing to do with settlements. If anything, the settlers are the great heroes that stand between most of Eretz Yisrael and suicide bombs. They don't see it. Dasam Vaviram are not moved by Jewish children being thrown into the Nile. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You see clearly, you see it every day. It's one of the most painful phenomena of all. Let's go further. I, I'll give you a general picture of what he's going to say. He's going to say here the following. That when things come down to it, are we a people worthy of redemption? Are we not worthy of redemption? What will make us worthy of redemption? So he says, if we follow the model of Mitzrayim, then we find that in the final analysis, absolute faith in God, trust in Him, forget everything else, just that, that's the key. That's the key to redemption. And he says the following. There were two mitzvahs that Jews had to fulfill before they went out of Egypt. One was they had to prepare the Paschal lamb, the Korban Pesach, and slaughter the Korban Pesach. And the second was that they all had to, the males had to circumcise themselves, had to be circumcised. Korban Pesach and Brit Milah. So the Shem Yishmur says, for them to have fulfilled those mitzvahs, it was completely irrational for them to do it. It was completely an absolute leap of faith. Brit Milah. They circumcised themselves a few days before being taken out of Egypt. What happened in last week's Seder? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't circumcise his son Eliezer before they went out on the road. And Rashi says, he said, I have to go to Mitzrayim now and take Jewish people out. I can't travel with a child who's undergone Brit Milah. 600,000 males are now going to, 600,000 was between age 20 and 60. In terms of the males that had to be circumcised, we're talking about 1.5 million, 2 million. And 3 days from now, we're going to go out on an unknown journey out into the desert. Why weren't they terrified? Somebody should have come and asked for Shaila. You're telling us we're going out of Mitzrayim. How are we going to go out of Mitzrayim under these circumstances? And what happened to the city of Shechem in the 3 days after their circumcision? In this week's setting, in Parshat Vayera, when Paro says to Moshe, listen, do your sacrificing here. What do you have to go out into the desert? Do it right here. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, we're going to sacrifice the deity of Egypt and they're not going to stone us to death. Which means they understand that to do it in Mitzrayim would be a great personal risk to every Jew. And here they agree and they do sacrifice the Korban Pesach. Do you know what a leap of faith this is? In other words, they're not thinking about themselves anymore. They simply accept without question the word of God. That kind of simple yet profound faith is what's needed in order to effect redemption. I'll tell you. Let's be honest with ourselves. In the elections in 96 was between Peres and Netanyahu. Was there any doubt in our minds? Of course, we've got to get rid of Peres and we need Netanyahu. And I'm sure that middle of the night when we found out that Netanyahu is winning, we thought this is it, salvation is coming. Okay? Whichever way we looked at it, we could say that we have faith and we have betachon and we have emunah and we're from. But boy, Netanyahu. Alright, then of course he lost. In the elections 2 years ago, it was between Barak and Sharon. Between Barak and Sharon, it's obvious we've got to get rid of Barak, who's ready to divide Yerushalayim and do all sorts of terrible things. And who's going to give us Shalom u'bitachon? Mi yishmora Yerushalayim, Sharon. I think now we come to the first elections in history. None of the choices is good. Sharon will give you a Palestinian state, and Mitzna will turn the whole state into a Palestinian state. It's only a matter of degree. Do you know what we're reaching? We're reaching the point that any thinking Jew must arrive at the conclusion that in fact and indeed and emotionally we have no one to depend on except the Rebbeinu. nobody's going to get us out of this miserable, historic, catastrophic mess that we put ourselves into, except the Revelation. That's what the Shem Yishmuel is saying. Absolute faith. Knowing that there's nothing that's going to help us. And because it's Revelation, then we're going to do whatever is required. Whatever he says, we're going to do. And therefore, these two mitzvahs, both of them entailed an awesome and a frightening leap of faith. And they do it. And they do it. I have the numbers here. I may be doing some skipping. So just follow along with me. It's known that Israel then were b'shval hamadrega, the bottom of the heap, the 49th level of Tumah. They were not ready for Geula. The only counsel and advice that can be given to them shall kulponim tiyabahem midas ha'achnova ha'bitul. Do you know what brings to faith? What brings to faith and trust in God when one is ready to surrender and make the greatest sacrifice of all? The Rav talked about it all often. The greatest sacrifice that one can make is the surrender of his rational mind before God. I'm a rational human being. I want to understand things. You want us to bring the Korban Pesach here? They're going to stone us on the streets of Mitzrayim. You want us to undergo Bris Milah? Now, how are 3 million people going to march out of Mitzrayim under those conditions? Faith, real faith, and real trust in God comes as a result of subduing oneself, surrendering completely before the will of God, and making that great sacrifice. My rational mind doesn't count. You count. You represent what truth is, not me. And that's accomplished by these two mitzvahs. He says, the Eitzah HaYeutzah, the advice is, at least they should have midat ha'achna'a. Ha'achna'a means that they surrender, that they subdue, an act of uncompromising faith. And the knowledge that only he can extricate us from it. So now, I'll just tell you what he's going to develop. The idea that he's going to develop is that since Chazal tell us that the Jewish people were like a fetus in Egypt, that means we are so much of the influence upon us is Egypt. Therefore, what's necessary is to break down the arrogance of Egypt. And as Paro and Mitzrayim are going to become more subdued, more bending, more yielding before God, as they go down in their chutzpah, we are the ones who are going to be able to rise in our spiritual relationship to God. It's necessary to bring Paro to the point that he knows God. Not because God needs Paro to know God. Surrendering before God. So just watch as Paro, you'll notice in the Torah, if you read the parashah, you'll see every step that Paro takes and begins to surrender more and more, Klal Yisrael rise more and more in their absolute faith in trust in God. That's why he wants, that's why Paro has to know that there is a God. Again, not because God needs Paro to know God, it's because God needs Jews to know God. And that's only going to happen in these two movements. This Mitzrayim and Paro becoming subdued and surrendering before God, and on the other hand, the Jewish people rising and growing stronger and stronger day by day in their commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There in line 14, he brings, the Shem Yishmuel brings the Gemara that says that in the final analysis we started off with 613 mitzvahs, and when it comes down to the bottom line, Bo Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk said, Ha'midon al achat, all of Torah stands on one principle, and that principle is Tzadik ve'emunato yichya. The righteous live through their faith and trust in God. V'zeho inyin pesach u'mila, shenitl him. That was the whole idea of the Korban Pesach. And the Brit Milah, as I explained, it was given to them, that they should be worthy of being redeemed. They have to reach a point where they understand, not by might, and not by strength, and not by politicians, none of them are. That's not going to bring the Yeshua. Don't get me wrong, we need an army, we need great soldiers, and you know what kind of soldiers we really need? Those who are going to go out with great faith in God. That's what we need. Because ultimately, it's tzaddik be'emunato yichyeh. Life will come to the Jewish people only through faith, and it has to be emuna tmima. Simple faith, not simplistic, simple. Complete, like a child to a parent. A ben to an av. That's what our relationship to our Kodesh Baruch Hu has to be. And therefore he describes every step. He takes you through every step and shows you how Mitzrayim is their chutzpah and their avos weakens, their surrender to God becomes stronger, and at the same time Jewish commitment to God becomes stronger. You'll see the next column. The Nidah, and it seems Shavuota Yakoach Mitzrayim took from the Koach when the might of Mitzrayim held onto them. Lo Hoya Bekoach Yisrael Lavo Lachno. As long as they were under the heel of Mitzrayim, Israel would not be able to come to that sense of being subdued and humbled before God. And therefore, he says, what's going to be necessary is to bring Mitzrayim down, intellectually, theologically, philosophically, spiritually. And then ultimately physically. But the first thing that has to be done is Mitzrayim has to reach the point of, yes, there is Hashem Echad, Ushma Echad. Then he says over there in line 8, Heipach dosom vavidom shenispalu me'altu tovu chutzpatosho paro v'Yisrael lo nimshichu adreizeh. In the final analysis, everybody indeed grew, Jews grew, except two of them, dosom vavidom. The fact is that there were more dosom vavidoms. There were those who were lost in Mitzrayim, and the ones who were lost in Egypt were lost because they were Dosan Vavidom. Line 27, with what he's saying, you can understand the power of that great pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Zachartu lo chesed miurayach, I remember the kindness of your youth, avatul otayach, the love of our marriage coming together, God of the Jewish people, lechtech acharei b'midbar, to follow me out into a desert, v'eretz lo zeruah, a land that's not planted. So in addition to the fact that they fulfilled the mitzvah of milah, leap of faith, the mitzvah of korban pesach, leap of faith, the very fact that they're walking out into the desert, 3 million people with no water and no food, this is emunah tamimah. And then, of course, he brings the famous medrash that says that in the end, that's exactly what happened. All the Egyptians except one were destroyed at the Yom Suf. And the medrash says the one who remained was Paro. And Paro's vocation for the rest of his life was traveling through the world, telling people that the God of Israel is the one God. Third page, or third side. Kitzur Hadvachim. He's going to begin to sum everything up. Kitzur Hadvachim. Chila ba'odam b'mitzchayim. And you're going to see he's really going to review for us everything that we said. Chila, at first when they were still in Egypt, ke'ubar b'me'imo, like a fetus within the womb of a mother. Haytah ha'azut v'chutz v'shal mitzchayim tekifa aleim. The chutzpah and the arrogance and the evil of Egypt was so strong upon them. And it drew them also to that kind of chutzpah. There was an inner struggle within Jews not to be drawn like a magnet to the culture of Egypt. Dosan Vavirim show you Absolet of Israel, Dosan Anavirim, that were the refuse of Israel, Motza Minet Mino. They found a great deal in common. the Ne'or, and it was reawakened in them. V'achakach kefam b'fam b'achnav parolav lad l'umatam hayav v'yecholet Yisrael l'izgod l'paklit ha'kniyam ha'bidol. Well, what's interesting is that as Paro begins to become more and more subdued, you know who doesn't? Dathan v'aviram. They still remain. They still remain what they were. And I'm beginning to think, Rashi in last week said that says God tells Moshe, go back to Egypt because the people who sought your life are dead. So Rashi says the people who sought your life are dead, but they were Dasam Vaviram, and Dasam Vaviram are still alive. So Rashi says they became poor, and one who's poor is considered kemet, as one though on the, this is a famous Rashi. That means like this. It means like this. I'm taking a further look at the Rashi. It means that in Mitzrayim, under those terrible conditions, Dasam Vaviram were wealthy. Is it possible that they were doing business with the enemy? Do you think Jews would ever make money while Jewish children are being thrown into the Nile? So you see, for years they're making loads of money, but these guys are a bunch of Dvirim Adirim, Dasam Vaviram. They had bank accounts before there was a Switzerland, you understand. So therefore the Torah tells us about them that they became poor. But now these guys know already, one of these days they'll bounce back. But they have lost their influence. Sounds, I don't know why it sounds so familiar to me, all of this. Page 1. This is the finale. And this part of the finale we learned 2.5 years ago, but I didn't learn the whole build-up to it. The whole build-up really is an explanation of what's taking place in all of these parashiyot. The necessity that ultimately Taro is going to bring sacrifices, the idea that he must be subdued to the point that he knows. It's something, of course, on an even simplistic level. The truth is, the sacrifice. We're all influenced by a world outside of us. What are you talking about? I was with my wife at a wedding last night, and coming home I said, you know, we became Israelis. The wedding was in Talpiot at Palace. I said, would you ever tell anybody you're going to a wedding at Palace? You know the wedding called Palace? Go tell an Israeli you're going to Palace. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. We talk like Israelis. Thank God. The idea that we are in great measure influenced by all sorts of things in the world out there. Dasam Vaviram took it to its extreme. Dasam Vaviram are the prototype of Jews who will betray their fellow Jews to a whole world. And now, the finale. Line 20. The Nida, Shem Yishmuel says, it seems Shazu Hamido Mahalechet Bechol HaGoliyot. This measure, this kind of a phenomenon exists in all of our exiles. Shachutzpah Yitero Shel Ha'umot Shem Lecharfinu Mekatfin Ba'amram Kol Hayom Ayei Elokecho. The great chutzpah of the nations against us, Zeh Moshech Et Leib B'nei Yisrael. That draws like a magnet the heart of some Jews are drawn to it either because, yes, Stockholm syndrome, drawn to it because they want to find favor in the eyes of the nations of the world. I can't really explain it to you because I don't understand it. The most natural thing is that a person would want to love his own people and never, God forbid, ever betray a Jew to the non-Jewish world. Somebody, I don't get it. Zeh Moshech Et Leib B'nei Yisrael Nami Levilti Hayot Nifnayim L'Dat HaTorah. That also brings Jews are influenced by that world out there. Ukamov Mitzrayim. Just as in Egypt, when did Dasam Vaviram become most active? In the period immediately preceding the redemption from Egypt. That's when it's going to get the worst. That's when you're going to have Gush Shalom and Shalom Achshav and this shalom and that shalom betraying Jews to the rest of the world day in and day out. That's the silver lining to the cloud. When Menu Bo, Dawson Partition came to Azad. Line 28, the Mishnah at the end of Masechet Sotah says that at the time of Mashiach, chutzpah is going to become great amongst the Jewish people. There will be exceptional kind of chutzpah, a rejection of one's own people. According to my opinion, this manenu in zay milchemet gogu magog shehi klipat hamerida ha'amonzal. This is a little fascinating what he says over here. The anti-Semitism in the world is a form of the Gog u'Magog battle that's supposed to take place at the end of time. In other words, it may not necessarily have to be an invasion of Eretz Yisrael. It can be a rejection of Jews worldwide. And we're getting pretty close. I mean, we're getting very close. Unbelievable. Line 33, that chutzpah out in the world impacts on our people here, and those who are rebellious amongst us become the traitors. And that's what our rabbi said, Bat komot b'ima kalo b'chamota. One of the signs of the end of days is that a daughter stands up against her mother and a daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Now it's the idea of chutzpah, the idea of chutzpah. The whole mashin into me in Zebek Sat Tariti Amenu lo mi nayuhu. What the truth is the Dozen of Irem syndrome is here already over 100 years. It has intensified. In Europe there were in Russia there were the Aztecs, the Jewish communists, I don't know how much Jewish blood there was on the hands of Jewish communists. I don't know, Buddhists and others, there were Jews, especially. I mean, it's terrible to say it, but that's the fact. Elikimodokon vavira makmatosha paro v'Hashem hatov. This is the sentence, very important. V'Hashem hatov yichaper v'adam, the good God should forgive them and atone for them. The shavu bonim l'gvulam, and the sons should return to their boundaries. And I think he's talking to the boundaries of the people. He's not only talking, he's using the term not only to mean that Jews return from Chutz Laaretz to Eretz Yisrael. The Jew in Eretz Yisrael who betrays his people should return to the bosom of his own people. Shavu bonim l'gvulam. Everybody should become, in a sense, subdued before God and tzadik b'emunato yichyeh. Then, of course, he goes back to answering the first question that he asked, and by now you know already what the answer is. Who needed the sacrifices of Paro? Because God didn't need the sacrifices of Paro. Jews needed the sacrifices of Paro. When they see that this great Paro has now subdued himself completely and surrendered before God, then the spell that he held over the Jewish people is gone and broken. In a sense, so I say that in a lo novi anochi velo ben novi, don't get me wrong, I mean, I don't like to make predictions, even though I've been right pretty often, but very often. No, I'm kidding. I'm still trying. If you think that I'm fully satisfied, all that I know is that, well, this phenomenon does exist. This phenomenon becomes stronger and more widespread the closer we come to redemption. It means, therefore, what's terribly important for us is to be able to identify it. You know, at one time, one would say, you know, you have to hear both sides. You know, you have to be even-handed, you have to be open-minded. No. There are opinions that are absolutely, completely evil and wrong. That's really what we're getting to this. that there's a psolus of the Jewish people, the opposites of Moshe and Aaron, the Dothan Barirons, exist in every generation. And I don't have to feel that I'm in the position of, you know, I have to be able to influence him, or I have to be able to listen to him, you know, maybe he is right. Maybe we did make a terrible mistake by stealing the land, or doing this, or doing that. When you get yourself into that, you're falling into the Dothan Barirons trap. You have to know that it exists, and you have to know to be able to remain strong, and you have to know that we're coming to a point where, to me, it's already become clear. Nothing short of a Nes Goli, a revealed miracle, is going to get us out of the horrible, horrible, historic, and tragic mess that we're in. So Hashem, Hatov, Yechaper, and, well, we'll talk about Nisan next week in Yitzhak Hashem. Yes?